Kyle Draper. Why is it always these guys? Why is it always the Warriors?
I'm tired, man. And I'm not tired because I got up early today, hopped on the Peloton, did the workout. I'm tired of arguing with Warriors fans. I'm tired of arguing with guys like Bonte Hill, Chris Mullin, and Festus Ezeli. I'm tired of thinking about Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. Why can't it be anybody other than the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah.
I'm tired already of talking about these guys.
At least it's just one game. We can dispatch them, right?
Oh, I like that. I like
that. Swat away.
Yes.
You know, like a fly, a bat. All right, now we move on.
We can put the final nail in the Warriors dynasty coffin, right?
Dynasty.
Can you imagine? Like, you know, their final game with Steph, Klay, and Draymond happened here at Golden One Center. We sent them home packing and ended their dynasty.
You know what, though? They could win, and they've been a great team, an all-time great team. We know that. No question. But they could win 22 games the next 6 years. They'd still be saying, well, the dynasty's hanging on,
right?
You know?
As long as they got Steph playing, right?
Exactly. Well, this could be the
end of
the
what
dynasty.
You're telling me is the dynasty ended last year. It's been done,
it's
right?
It's been done a while. But Kings still have to take care of their business. And I got to tell you, confession, I am still not over Friday night. What happened to the Kings Friday? What did you think of the officiating, Drapes?
It was terrible. And I went on a rant after on the post-game show. And people killing me for it. But the physicality, we had Tim Kempton on.
Yeah.
It's gotten too out of control. And this wasn't that it benefited the Suns or it benefited the Kings or anything like that. Phoenix shot 16 of 17 free throws. Sacramento, 13 of 14. It's just the style of play is not enjoyable. That's what I was saying. And people coming at me, well, the Kings are just soft, dude. It's not, okay, let's say they are soft. So what? A foul is a foul. And when I say the physicality, Whitey, I'm not talking about the chest to chest, the body to body. I'm talking about guys slapping down on the arms, guys grabbing. That's not being called the way it should. And I was super frustrated, obviously, about the loss. And I'm not going to blame it on the officials. But I'm listening to Morgan and Chelsea talk about Domas down the stretch, De'Aaron down the stretch. When the officiating, to me, like, I felt like our guys tried to play through it. But the officiating, to me, it's not basketball, man. It's street ball. We had Tim Kempton on, and he agreed. It's just an unwatchable product at times
for
me.
Yeah, Tim Kempton's reaction. When I saw you, I knew that that's, oh, yeah, you were kind of channeling your inner Tim Kempton. And I know you already felt that way. But Tim Kempton, when I asked him Friday, he, like, put his head down. It's like it was a visceral reaction.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can't believe it. So, yeah, I knew that's where you were coming
from. And this
from.
Is a guy that played in the era of physicality.
And he did not shy away from contact.
Right, exactly. And I think people, you know, unless you're up close or unless you're in there, you don't get to see it the way, like, I'm calling the games and I'm watching it and it's like, oh, my gosh, these guys are getting whacked. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking both teams. I'm not just saying, obviously, the Kings, which it does happen. But, I said it the other day, man, during my rant. I've been a fan of NBA basketball since 1983, and that was my first basketball memory, the Sixers winning the championship.
But mine is 1883.
Exactly. You and Dr. Naismith, you know. But no, it to make the change in the way it's being officiated middle of the season where guys are just getting whacked and there's no calls, and we're saying, oh, that's physicality. That's not physicality. That's a foul, and you need to call that. And that was my point on this rant. And so, yes, they lost to Phoenix on Friday. Yes, I know you're heartbroken, Whitey. But let me tell you, they lost to Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. We just don't have the horses to finish out games like that. We lost to two, maybe three Hall of Famers. I'm not as upset as everybody else was. I got people saying, oh, we lost another one, another blown lead. Well, the fact that we had a lead against Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker, who, you know, are now the sixth seed, mind you.
Right?
Let's not forget. They're the sixth seed now. Like, and we just don't have the bodies, man.
Yeah, I know. And there's nothing you can do about it. And you have to move on. But to me, just the fact that you're up four with a minute to go, and then right away you basically have Domas throwing an outlet pass, like a lead pass for Beal. It's like, well, now it's two. Anyway, that was frustrating because you figure if you're the seven or the eight, you've got, what, at least a 50% chance of advance, maybe better.
Yeah.
And now, you know, it just, well, you just got to take care of your business. have to get over it. But that was very frustrating because now you look at the gauntlet that you got to go through, and it's a whole different story.
And I hear you, and I understand that gauntlet, but it can be done.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we've been talking all year long about how the Kings own the Lakers. And so let's say you take on the Warriors. Tough matchup, 2-2. We know they have great players, but you can beat them. You've proven you can beat them, even though you're shorthanded right now, and I'm worried about that. But then let's say you take on the Lakers. It is a gauntlet, yes, but it can be achieved. You know, the entire season, mind you, Kings fans, we were better than the Lakers. We were better than the Warriors. So now all of a sudden, are we supposed to be scared and say we can't beat those guys? We've been better than them the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers snuck in at the final hour. And so, yes, it's a gauntlet. Yes, it's going to be tough. Yes, I'm worried. But I think we're up to the task.
It is a tremendous opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, if the Kings win, just think of how many demons they exercise with a win tomorrow. So looking forward to that. There's been a lot of talk just yesterday as the teams, you know, started meeting with the media. What do you think of the game? You're playing them again. And I know Draymond said, and I think even Davion was saying, hey, we know each other very well. No surprises. I think there's going to be some surprises. I'm not saying they're wrong. That's what you got to say. But, you know, when teams know each other so well, the coaches are trying to figure out what can we do that they won't see coming. Like last year, from the first possession, Domas gets the ball, and Looney's like, here.
He backs right? up, right? And gives Domas him about
like,
10
now
feet.
What do I
now,
do?
And we haven't seen them since January, too. Let's you know, and this is a different Kings team than earlier, and it's a different Warriors team.
It is.
They're relying heavily on their young guys. You know, Chris Paul is back. Remember last time? I don't think he played in that game. The Warriors are actually playing some pretty good basketball right now. That's what scares me. But, you know, you're right. If you're a coach and you've seen a team four times, you got to throw everything in the kitchen sink, you know, at these guys. You know, switch it up, maybe a little more zone from the King. I don't know. Whatever.
Right, I don't pretend to know.
I don't know what the you know, adjustments are going to be, but you got to throw something new at them.
Remember also last year, all of a sudden, Alex Len is in the rotation.
Yes.
What?
Right, right. And I wonder if Mike Brown goes small. You know, Trey Lyles at the five tomorrow. You know, we've seen it a little bit, but maybe against this matchup, especially with Draymond at the five, you throw Trey Lyles at the five when Sabonis is out. And so I'm just not sure what's going to happen.
Nice that they got to light the beam yesterday. That wasn't really a very good team they played yesterday, but how come C-Webb couldn't just light the beam by himself? Drapes, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but yet C-Webb, then Vivek was over, then they had, I believe it was a recording artist, I'm not familiar.
Derulo.
Yeah, yeah. So it's freaking C-Webb. Why couldn't C-Webb just light the beam?
But Jason Derulo is actually bigger than C-Webb.
Really?
Yes, 100%. Because here, and I'm sorry to say it, Kings fans, I'll tell you my Jason Derulo story. I'm walking out, and I got my daughter, my son, and my daughter's 12-year-old friend. We're walking. And my daughter's 12-year-old friend, oh my gosh, that's Jason Derulo. And I knew it was him, but I'm like, yeah. And she freaked out, bro. And so we actually got a picture with Jason Derulo.
Very nice.
I did not ask for a picture with C-Webb, even though he's my guy. But I had to go up to Jason. I'm like, Jason, hey, man, can you take this pictures with us? So he's pretty big. I get it. Like, you're
and
that
like an afterthought, too. It's like, and Vivek, and Jason,
Oh, and
too.
Jason, come on in.
Yeah,
but you know how Vivek is. He wants to be seen next to the celebrities.
I get it.
Next to the stars. And so I understand. And C-Webb had all weekend in Sacramento, too. Let's not act like,
he's probably supposed to do it Friday, right?
Right, exactly. If you would have won Friday, that would have been perfect. And so, yeah, I got to post my Jason Derulo picture and tag
him.
That's
very nice.
Yes.
Very nice. Yeah. Boy, it's hard to have a worse game than Banton had yesterday, isn't it?
That guy.
Poor guy.
Man, he couldn't make a shot. He was frustrated. He got kicked out. He was looking to, 6 of 26, 0 of 15 from 3.
Threes and you get thrown out.
Right. It was so crazy. He was their team's leading scorer. That's how bad that squad was. He had 17. But he was a cheap shot artist. He's trying to pick a fight with Chris Duarte and Kobe Jones. Like two of the nicest guys on the team, you know what I mean? And so that was a rough night for him.
You know, those guys kind of sometimes look alike. I wonder if he thought,
That's what I was thinking during the game. I'm like, he must have thought that was still Chris or something. Yeah, you know, light-skinned guy and everything. Because Kobe had just checked in, hadn't done anything. And we know Kobe, nice kid, man. He just gets the forearm shiver. I'm like, dude, Delano Banton, he was ready to go. He was ready to leave.
Well, it's going to be a lot of
fun
tomorrow.
How are you feeling, though?
I'm working on it.
Are you nervous, worried, excited that we get to take on these guys? I'm tired of Golden State. Raymond Ritter is my guy. I'm tired of getting these damn emails from Raymond Ritter. I'm tired of getting these damn text messages from Raymond Ritter. He sent one, no lie, though. Let me pull it up right here. Raymond Ritter's my guy.
You don't want to mess with Raymond
Ritter. No, he's my guy. Him and I go back a ways. He sent me a message last night. At, let me see, 11:31. I'm like, Raymond, at least let it be 24 hours. It's like I'm trying to go to bed and my phone pings and it's Raymond freaking Ritter. I'm tired of the Warriors. I'm tired. We got to extinguish these guys tomorrow.
That would be tremendous, wouldn't it? That would be great. I'm trying to focus on that because remember last week we were talking about the possibilities and I don't remember exactly where you were, but I was saying I don't want to deal with the Warriors. I don't want to deal with all the lead up to it, but it'll all be worth it if the Kings can find a way. It's just obviously not going to be easy. The last three times they've played, the game has been decided by a single point.
1 point, yes. Wow. A battle royale, if you will. I mean, it's going to be another one tomorrow because I think both teams are good. I think the Kings are no longer intimidated by the Warriors, so I think the Kings will be ready. You know, this Warriors team, as great as they've been on the road, they've won 17 out of their last 21 road games. They're going to come in ready, and so I think it's going to be a heavyweight fight. I'm worried about Warriors fans seeping into the building, to take over the building tomorrow.
Last
I'm a little
year,
worried about
game
that.
Game one, that was one of the stories. There were hardly any Warrior fans.
Right, exactly. And so I'm worried about them, you know, trying to pack the stands with Warriors fans there
good
tomorrow.
Good point. Stick around because Drapes Takes, coming right back with that. It's next, Sactown Sports Drive, guys. As we gear up for the tensions, the excitement of tomorrow's showdown, I'll take a few moments here in the show, kind of, you know, lighten things up a little bit. Did you happen to see Caitlin Clark on Saturday Night Live?
I did. She was
great.
Fantastic.
Wasn't
fantastic.
She?
I loved it. Yes, I saw that. I watched the clip a couple of times.
Went
out
to Michael Che.
Yeah, I know. Or Michael Che, man. He deserved all of it, man. He got it. And so congrats to her. WNBA draft coming up in a couple of hours also.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, that's coming up at 4:30. So.
What did he say? Oh, the game set a record with 14.8 million viewers beating the old record by 14.8.
Ouch. That's tough. And then she fired back.
Yeah,
you don't have
did.
A girlfriend or something like that? It was awesome. It was awesome.
All right. So is this. It certainly will be. It's time for Drapes Takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Sacramento Kings fans, what's up? It's your boy Drapes with Drapes Takes. Let me start off, and I'm going to do a chronological Drapes Take. Is that okay, Whitey?
Please.
Can I do starting with Friday and that game against the Phoenix Suns? I know we're heartbroken Kings fans. I know that was the game we had to have, but calm down. Ultimately, what happened, and I said it last segment, we just did not have the horses. It is no shame losing to Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant. This wasn't like we blew a lead against the Houston Rockets or we blew a lead against the Detroit Pistons. This Phoenix Suns team is still a contender in the Western Conference. And when we don't have Malik Monk and when we don't have Kevin Huerter, I think our fourth quarters are going to suffer. Malik Monk is one of our closers. It's De'Aaron Fox and it's Malik Monk. And I say it time and time again. People walking out of Golden 1 Center on Friday holding their heads down, we got to be realistic. We're not talking enough about the loss of Malik Monk and being realistic about what it does to this team. We can play a half. We could play three quarters, but without Malik Monk, it's tough down the stretch to get buckets.
I understand all that, but you only needed to play a minute with a lead, Drapes. That's what made it so tough is that, yeah, even though you didn't have Malik, you still could have won that game. But you're right. It's all water under the tower bridge.
It's water under the tower bridge right now. We move on, which takes me to Sunday. And I understand Portland, they didn't even have their G League team. They had their YMCA team. Like, they had a guy, Tajay Moore, who they picked up off J Street an hour before the game.
Right.
Like, He wasn't even on the scouting report. He wasn't in the game notes or anything.
Kiki Vandeweghe was suited up.
Right. Seriously. They had anybody. I mean, and so what the Kings were able to do yesterday against Portland, very impressive. But I want to give a shout out specifically to De'Aaron Fox, because there was a sequence, I think it was midway through the first quarter, where he said enough is enough. He said, you know what, Portland, you're hanging around a little too much. I'm going to step it up. I'm going to take off. He had three steals in that first quarter. He had six straight points, three straight buckets. And I thought De'Aaron Fox, really what I want to see from him all the time, said enough is enough. I'm going to be the best player out here. And he went on a mini spurt that pretty much ended the game right there.
Yeah, it was honestly a little embarrassing because the Blazers were so overmatched, and it was almost like a high school senior playing with sixth graders, you know, where Darren's like, I'm going to steal it now. I'm going to steal it again.
Exactly. And so, I got to look at the season defensive numbers, but I'm not counting last night's game, yesterday's game, because that was awful. I mean, 7 of 45, the Trailblazers from three-point range.
Defensive numbers went up for
right,
the Kings.
They went up for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
So that was Friday. That was Sunday. Now I'll talk about the full 82. I want to give Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox a ton of credit. These guys were available. They were present. They were consistent. Fox leading the league in steals, Domas leading the league in rebounds and triple-doubles and double-doubles. We should be proud of our two stars because, unlike a lot of teams, they were available and they delivered throughout most of the season.
I got to say, I appreciated your rant. I didn't like the way De'Aaron was complaining about the officiating. Didn't like the way Coach Brown was complaining. But then, you know, it's interesting. The two-minute report comes out, and the NBA says, clearly, Beal hit the ball. And you couldn't tell anything clearly.
Right.
I don't know what happened, but you could not tell anything clearly.
And that's what I'm talking about. The two-minute report in the league, it's – I know I'm an employee of the NBA, the Sacramento Kings, but I'm not liking the gray area by which the league is operating right now. Whether it's the officials, the two-minute report, I mean, De'Aaron, he may have been hit. He said he was fouled. I think he was fouled. Maybe not enough to get a whistle, but still, that's neither here or there. The fact that the league is sort of covering up, and that a lot of times they use the word marginal contact. Remember, we've talked about this, Whitey. The word marginal needs to be banned out of the NBA's lexicon, because what's marginal to you might be different than what's marginal to me.
Yes.
And so I think that's a problem in the NBA.
I know the way officials have been trained traditionally is you don't call something if there's no advantage gained. Well, when you see a guy get hit in the face or he's unable to follow through on a shot because his arm gets hit, there's an advantage gained, and that must be called.
Exactly. And so the officiating has to be better. My fourth and final Drapes take. Warriors, come out. That didn't sound quite right. Come out to play. I'm ready. I'm ready for Draymond to come to town. I'm ready for Steph to come to town. Klay Thompson, I'm ready for your final game in a Golden State Warriors uniform. I know our home record hasn't been great. I know we've struggled, but my guys have a chance to atone for all of that. Here's the thing, Whitey. We've been talking about losses to Detroit, Washington, Charlotte, all these guys. Play it, Jay. Play it.
Takes a while to ramp up.
I know, no. I was waiting for the drop, big fella. I was waiting for the beat to drop. Here's the thing. We talk about all these bad losses.
Warriors, come out to play.
I am ready. I'm ready for Steph to take the drive up I-80, to come into the House of Horrors known as Golden One Center. As I was saying, Whitey, all those bad losses, we can atone for them this week. We go 2-0 this week. We don't have to talk about Detroit anymore. We don't have to talk about Charlotte or Washington or Portland, any of those bad losses. So everything is still right there within grasp for the Sacramento Kings.
I swear when you said, I'm ready for Steph Curry to take the short drive up I-80, I thought you were going to say, two Mercedes-Benz of Stockton.
Hey, if he needs a hookup, I got him. I know a couple people down there at Mercedes-Benz of Stockton. All right, that's Drape's Take. This is brought to you by Alsco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Alsco Uniforms. You like that Drape's Take?
Yes, like yes. Right. The one thing about that movie I'll never forget is the... Were they the Sluggers, the gang that was all baseball? Mm-hmm.
Baseball bats. They got whooped, too, quick. They were chasing them around in the park.
What?
And they was getting worked with the Louisville Sluggers.
So, yeah, I'm ready, man. I'm saying let's do this. Let's go. Let's go. We got one more round with the Warriors. Let's go.
Be nice to have your emotional core available, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, here's the thing. And I've said it before, Jay, we've been on the air talking about it. Whitey, we've talked about it. This is an opportunity, whether it be for Keon, Davion, Trey, somebody to have a legacy kind of game. A game when 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we're still talking about Mike Bibby's elbow jumper against the Lakers 20-something years later. This is a time for the bench, the role players to step up. I go back to 2017, Kelly Olynyk, game 7 against Washington, dropping 26 points. You know, I go back to the LeBron James game, 2012, dropping 45 at the Garden in Boston. Who's going to be that guy that has the iconic game? Maybe it's our stars, but it could be a role player also. So if I'm a player, I'm embracing this opportunity tomorrow.
There's also some question as to whether the Warriors' young players will be up for the moment. That's not to say, they got no chance, but it's kind of a reversal. Remember last year, Warriors have all this experience. The Kings haven't been in these big games. And now you have to wonder about guys like Trayce Jackson-Davis and Pajemski. To a degree. You know, they haven't been through anything like this.
The spotlight being bright. And I will say this, too, to piggyback on that, Whitey. Game 6 last year, I thought we learned a lot about our team. Davion stepping up and having a monster game. Trey. So these guys have been in a hostile environment when a must-win situation. Pajemski hasn't. Trayce Jackson-Davis hasn't. And so, and we just got word, GP2, Gary Payton II, is not playing tomorrow. Mm. And you know he's their best on-ball defender. And so there's no reason why the Kings should not enter tomorrow confident.
Do you think there's in any way a sense that the Kings are playing with house money tomorrow?
Don't you dare say that.
Well, because they are shorthanded and they're against the great Warriors.
They better not be thinking that. I'm not thinking that. I will be extremely disappointed if they lose tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Sure.
No, what I mean is they come out with a sense of,
playing free. Okay, I see what you mean. Okay.
We have nothing to lose.
I thought you
here.
Meant like a built-in excuse house money,
no.
Playing free.
I don't know.
Yeah. You could be right because you got Steph Curry on the other side.
Right.
You got Hall of Famers. You know, if I'm them, I got a chip on my shoulder. If I'm Mike Brown, my pregame speech is, you know, the league wants Steph to win. You know, they want, Draymond and Clay to advance. You know, the Warriors are the darlings of the NBA. Let's go out there and shock the world. That's my pregame speech.
When we come back, we'll look at Adam Silver's explanation for why fewer fouls are being called in the NBA. Are you buying any of it next year? Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Hopefully Mike Brown is listening because we got some great suggestions here on the YouTube chat. A recipe here for the Kings to win. Cal Draper, Kevin Gleason. Rob Brown says no monk tomorrow. Kings need 40 from Fox and 30 plus from two others in order to win. He says that would take a miracle. The end says force turnovers, keep them off the boards. Beamer Beams Beanley says everything's on the line. Halliburton trade, does Monk stay? Little bro, big bro, breakthrough, and on and on and on. This is a potential paradigm shift in the entire NBA.
Oh, my gosh.
He's right.
Time out.
It could not be bigger.
We know this is a 9-10 matchup, right? This is not... he's making it he's acting like it's bird magic all over again. We got two teams, 9 and 10. This is not a paradigm shift. This is not, and I'm often accused of overhyping things, but my gosh, Beamer.
I think he's underselling it.
Nah, you know what? You know what, Whitey?
B3? Yeah,
what? You know what?
What?
I did that 2 times for the Dallas game. I did it for the Pelicans game. I did it for the Suns game. I'm all cashed out in terms of you got to win this. This, you know, I'm done.
Yeah.
The guys aren't listening to me.
Yeah.
They aren't feeling me. And so if you Beamer, Beams, and Beamly and yourself want to be that, you know what?
He's got more here, Drake.
Oh, he got more?
Are Steph and Braun and KD done? Is it the Clippers' last run? Is it still Denver's time? OKC or mini dynasty takeover? He's right. Could not be bigger.
Oh my gosh, man! This is awesome. This is you know, it's a 9-10 matchup. It didn't even if you win, you got to play again on Friday. Where do you go from here if you win? In terms of your emotion and you know.
Well,
it's
if
like,
they have
you
to
can't
play New
be
Orleans,
high on,
we know where we're going to be, right? Let's be honest.
And that's
and then we're all
going
to talk ourselves into saying, well, it's hard to beat a team
six times in a row.
You know, overlooking the fact that, well, there's a reason why they beat them five times in a row. But let's just hope we get to that point. Or I guess we hope we end up playing the Lakers, huh? That's what we'd rather do.
Well, it's hard to beat a team 5 times in a row, right? Right? I mean, although the Pelicans proved it can be done. You know what's crazy about this play-in tournament, and thank God for it, we'd be waking up today, season's over. Think about that. Without a play-in, it would have came down to the final day, and we would have been on the outside looking in. That, and that is scary. Like, it makes me want to puke, like throw up, to think that this team did not make the playoffs this year. It's still an outside chance that they can make the playoffs, so I'm hanging on to that hope, but we could have woke up today and been out of the playoffs.
It's discouraging, but to me, as you said earlier, it's understandable. It's, you know, excusable. I don't know. That's semantics. But when you lose Malik Monk, they lost, what'd they lose, 7 of 11? It's like, yeah, they should have won some of those games, but you can understand why they struggled so much down the stretch.
Yes. Yes.
You just don't like to give in to that, do you?
No, because, you know, and it's not because of the earlier losses against the bad teams, the Washingtons of the world, the Denver, because I said it the other day. Look at all the teams the Kings are grouped in with, the Lakers, the Pelicans, the Suns. They all have bad losses also. All of them are saying, man, if we wouldn't have lost to Memphis 3 times, we could have been in there. And so What upsets me, though, and is disappointing for me, is that we know they can be better. And I'm not talking about just the wins and losses. I'm talking about the shooting percentage. I'm talking about the defense. I'm talking about the coaching. I'm talking about the leadership. Like, everything could have been better this year. And, you know, to have this team, a very likable team. Some people say, this is one of the most unlikable. I love this team. I love all the guys. I feel like they deserve better because they worked their butts off all season long. The results just weren't there.
JR says 9 versus 10 is better than 11 versus 12. He also says, I met Drapes yesterday in his light blue blazer. It's only
blazer.
One Z in blazer there, JR. His light blue blazer was off the charts.
A lot of comments about that light blue blazer. That was brand new. As well. Remember, I went to my spot in Toronto, Drapes clothing store in Toronto. Got it? Yeah. And so I was like, day game, big game, let me pull this out. And my boys delivered, man. So, yeah JR, I'll tell you what, Whitey. I met Javier also the game before.
Good. From Vacaville.
No, yeah, but sometimes it's scary to meet people from, you know, because I go at people on the radio. Remember, I clowned Javier with his hot takes and everything, talking about Mason Jones.
And you also clowned him for saying they're 2 up in the win column.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you went
in. So I'm doing the post-game show, and I see this guy standing over there for like a half hour waiting, and he's giving me that look and everything. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, man, it's about to be some smoke up here. And I get off the set. Security's giving me the eye like, Drapes, you need something? You good? You know? And this guy comes up and he's like, what's up? I'm Javier. I'm like, and? He's like, from the radio show. I'm like, oh. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, you the guy I clowned and everything. He was by himself, too.
He's a
good dude. I was worried, though. I had security right, but he didn't know that. But I had security.
You didn't turn your back on him, did you?
Right. No, not at all. Not at all. And I kept eye contact with him and security just to make sure. But you just never know, man. You never know out there, especially. I'm hard on people sometimes, you know? And then you meet them out in public, and you're like, uh-oh, are they going to try to throw hands or what? But it was all good. It was all good.
Yeah, yeah. And then and you met JR. JR has been going after you about the Eagles for months now.
Yeah, so. And I told JR, I'm like, dude, you got to come on my side one of these days. Like, he's always giving me crap. I'm walking out with my daughter, her friend, and my son. We just hung out with Jason Derulo, and then this guy accosts me from the back. Drapes, grabs my arm. I was like, I was about to hit him with one, right? And it was like, I'm JR. And I'm like, oh, you the guy. Okay. But no, he was nice, man. He was super cool.
Good. What do you think of Adam Silver? Good guy?
I like Adam Silver.
Yeah. He has noted a decline in foul calls on defenders during the season. And he says some of it's because of some things that Steve Kerr said earlier this year. Quote, I think there was a sense earlier in the season that there was too much of an advantage for the offensive players. Whether I think Steve Kerr said offensive players were using themselves as projectiles or hunting for fouls, however you want to call it. So that was a point of emphasis on behalf of the league. He says, so yes, there was a bit of an adjustment made along the way. But again, the context, he says, that's two fouls per game per team. And in the end result, most importantly, we think this is a better game. That's Adam Silver, official explanation for the fact that they're calling fewer fouls. Better product because it's only about two per team per game.
Two things. One, I've heard Adam Silver. That's not his accent. He doesn't talk like that.
Well, it's a work in progress.
Good try.
It's like, let's see where this goes. Two, I wouldn't disagree with you.
How does he sleep at night saying that comment he just said? He's not watching the games like we are then. Because there's a difference between two fewer fouls per game and the type of fouls that are being called or not called. I don't mind more physicality. I applaud it. I'm okay with that. I just think the officials now are sort of operating in a gray area where they don't know how much physicality they should allow to be played out there. Like, guys are getting, like, there was a play in that Phoenix game. Nurkic and Sabonis were just wrestling each other. Like, it's not basketball, man. And he thinks it's a more enjoyable game. Maybe I'm soft. And if somebody want to call me soft, so freaking be it. I'll be soft. I'm going to be who I'm going to be. But what I see out there, and to me, what's going to wind up happening, we're going to get in the playoffs, 7-game series. We're going to let this physicality go, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to carry on into a fight or something like that. And I just don't like the way it's being played.
What I don't like about his explanation is he uses Steve Kerr as kind of a shield and says, Steve Kerr says the offensive players were using themselves as projectiles. And okay, that is something you should legislate out of the game.
Right.
But that's not actually what we're talking about. Mm. Those aren't the fouls.
Those aren't the ones we're
of.
Talking about.
They're getting rid of just clear contact on an offensive player going to the basket.
You know what's interesting, Whitey, and I'm going to shed some light on this even further, which makes me more upset about what the league is doing. Going into the season, every year the league has point of emphasis, things that they're looking at that they're trying to, you know, legislate or, you know, they're keeping an eye on. One of those things this year, going into this season, because I'm in the league meetings, they have meetings with the broadcasters, they send out all this stuff, was freedom of movement, allowing the offensive player to have freedom of movement. That was a point of emphasis at the beginning of the season. Somewhere around the All-Star break, freedom of movement.
They walked that
all the way back and went the other way. And so as much as I think Adam Silver's a great commissioner, he's getting this one wrong. This is wrong what the NBA is doing right now.
By the way, I think it was a $2,000 fine for Nurkic for that flop Friday.
Yes.
That's not nearly enough. That was such terrible. Like, he goes to catch the ball and Fox tries to catch it at the same time. And then he's like, whoa! Right. It was a terrible flop.
That's the stuff that needs legislating.
Yes.
The flopping and the overselling of fouls. Not when a guy gets whacked on the arm or grabbed. Did you agree with the late fouls on Sabonis in that Phoenix game?
You're not going to like it, but I did because the one where he was boxing out, Domas was facing Nurkic and he had his arm around his back.
Right, yeah. I agree with that one, too.
If he had his back to him, okay, that would have been over the back. But when you're facing him and you're hugging him, I thought they had to call that.
I agree with you. And they showed the replay, and I'm like, yeah, that's a foul. And, you know, it sucks that it happened in that context. And, you know, going back to that Phoenix game, when you look at it, I think, let me do my math correctly, 6 out of their final 8 points were from the free throw line. Mm. Like, they had the one Beal fast break layup. Mm-hmm. But other than that, Durant had free throws. Nurkic had free throws. It's tough to lose a game like that when you give up free throws.
On the other hand, on a brighter note, another peek at play-in history says, Kings have a fair shot at the postseason proper. Back with that, Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
What was your reaction when you did see that it was the Warriors?
Typical and negative, of course. So, you know, it's all good. We know the challenge ahead of us, so just got to go out there and play.
Trey Lyles from earlier today, as we get ready for the Warriors and the Kings tomorrow. Question for you, Drapes, Mr. NBA. What is going on here? Traditionally, the 7 and the 8 play from the West and the East. They play the first night. Then the next night, the 9 plays the 10 from each conference. Now we're doing it. The West is all tomorrow night and the East is the next night. What's going on?
You know, what's interesting, the league sent out the play-in tournament schedule, and it all had to do with the Philadelphia 76ers. If the Sixers were in the play-in, which they are, we have what we had. If they were out, then it would have been that way you're talking about.
Because of hockey, right?
Hockey is that, because of the arenas. Yeah, exactly. And so you got to have 2 on one night, 2 the next night. And so I actually like this because no team has an advantage now with rest or anything like that. Both Western Conference teams will have a couple of days rest. Both Eastern Conference teams will have a day rest. Yeah. And so it balances it out.
Austin here on the chat says, I can't believe all the chatter about how the Lakers should tank the 7-8 game to avoid Denver on ESPN. I don't know how you feel. I've been seeing some things about that as well. I think Greeny was going off on that. That's really stupid if you ask
it's dumb,
me.
Yeah.
It's really dumb.
Yeah, that's playing with the basketball gods. That's, you know, because then you got to play either Steph and the Warriors or the Kings in a winner-take-all one game. Like, the reason why the 7 and 8 is so valuable is because you get 2 cracks at it.
Yeah, like, so you're going to kick one.
You're going to just punt one away? No. Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, and if you're talking about winning the championship, you got to play Denver eventually, probably. And so some would argue play them this sooner rather than later, you know, before they hit their stride, before they get going.
Yeah. So. Were you surprised at the way the Pelicans came up short yesterday and also the way the Minnesota came up short against Phoenix? I guess it's matchups in both cases.
Yeah, and more so to Pelicans, right? Because they were at home. They had kicked our butts. They looked like world beaters, like contenders.
Then they went and beat the Warriors.
And then they beat the Warriors on a back-to-back, and then they roll over against the Lakers. And now they got to play the Lakers again on Tuesday. And a lot of it is matchups, yes. But like I said, LeBron in a one-game winner-take-all, like, he was fantastic last night against the Pelicans. I wouldn't want to see him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Lakers are probably going to beat the Pelicans.
They probably are. Right. Exactly. And then, you know, they move in and they're the what?
Unless they decide to kick it and, you know, to avoid the Nuggets.
Nah, there's no way. There's
no
way.
Some people think that the Cavs yesterday
lost on purpose, right?
Yeah.
Tell me why, though. I'm still to avoid the Miami Philly play-in winner.
It has
first
to
round?
Do with where they'd be in the bracket.
Yeah, in the bracket, right?
And in the fourth quarter, they didn't play, and it was a winnable game, and they didn't play their guys. And J.B. Bickerstaff said, we were not going to do that no matter what. I was not going to play my guys in the fourth quarter, which you could understand, but most people look at it and say, they're finagling here with their seeding.
Yeah, and I was listening to SiriusXM NBA Radio, and they were finagling their seeding so that they could play Orlando
in the first round
instead of having to play either Miami or Philly in that first round. And so I don't know. I don't know if that's the case, but I just wouldn't want to play Boston. Out of the East, to me, is why you got Boston and then you got 6 other teams that could advance.
Mm-hmm. Here's another look at the history of the 9 seed. I know we talked about this Friday. But 9 seeds have gone, because there have been 6 in the short history of the play-in. 9 seeds have gone in the first game, 4-2. So 9 seeds have won 4 of the 6. Those 4 teams that have won, they've gone 3-1 in the second game.
Really?
So yes. So of the 6, 3 of them made it. 3 of them did not. You figure as a 9 seed, I mean, 50-50, well, that's pretty good. So half of the teams in the history of the play-in that were the 9 seed, they did end up making it into the playoffs. half did not. So there's a chance.
And zero of the 10th seeds you talked about. So there is a chance. And that's what I'm talking about. The goals are still there. Like, who's to say the Kings can't? They can win two games this week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care who. And I know the Pelicans are scary, but it's hard to beat a team six times in one season, right? All right, so maybe not the Pelicans.
Because you don't usually play them that often.
Right? Maybe not the Pelicans, but they've proven they could beat the Lakers. They've proven they could beat the Warriors. Like, this Warriors game tomorrow, it's a toss-up to me as far as I'm concerned. It's not like – I know Vegas has the Warriors 2.5-point favorites, I think it is. But to me, it's a toss-up. Any team can win. And then you play the Lakers. If you happen to match up with the Lakers, we know the Kings have fared well against them. And so, no, I'm not out on the guys yet.
I know the Kings are thrilled to be home, but then the Warriors haven't played very well at home, so I don't think they mind being on the road for this game.
Warriors 21-20 at home this year. Unbelievable. And then you look at their road slate, their road record, 25-16.
Mm-hmm.
And I just mentioned, they've won 17 out of their last 21 away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you got to imagine, they're going to come up here very confident. They won a game 7 in this building, Golden 1 Center. And so, it's going to be a dogfight. When we talk about the Kings season, the fact that they went 24-17 at home, that's that. We could talk about the losses to the bad teams, them not being able to protect their home court.
That's 2 years in a row, right?
2 years in a row.
That's
exactly.
A little better than last year, or was that the same?
No, I think that's about the same. Yeah. I think that's about the same.
And you talked about points of emphasis. That was one of the Kings' points of emphasis, right? So we got to do a better job winning at home.
Yes, yes. And I'm looking at their home record. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Ninth best in the West. Well, that's where they are, ninth in the West. And you got to be better, especially for that crowd. So tomorrow, they got to handle business, man.
I would think that if we got our friend Bonte in here, and he was being totally honest, you know, the Warriors have a lot to be confident about. They've won, what, 26 of the last 38, I think it is.
Yeah.
And Clay's playing better. Mm-hmm. But I would think if there's one thing they're concerned about, Kuminga's health, his knee, has been an issue.
Yes, he's been in and out of the lineup, and I think he's a big part of what they do. I mean, you talk about
– and he's a tough matchup.
A tough matchup, right. He's a physical force out there. Who's going to guard him? You know, is it HB? And so, no, you're right. Without Kuminga, who's been their second best player.
And he could play. It's just been
– right.
There's a lot of uncertainty there.
He's been their second best player, second most consistent player. And so this is a matchup where I think, sure, the Kings are shorthanded. But with no Gary Payton II, a Kuminga that's, you know, hobbled, the Kings got a shot tomorrow.
Gary St. Jean, former Kings coach, he also was a Warrior coach. He's going to join us at 3:30. St. broke down the series last year for us expertly, so we look forward to his analysis. And coming up next is making the play-in tourney an accomplishment for the Kings. Mike Brown's answer to that question is next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.